Okay, turning your Bibles just for one verse right away in Romans chapter 8 and 17. I was just talking to someone upstairs about the life of Christ that we have, and we've already opened in prayer, so I'll just get right to the message. Romans chapter 8, it's a wonderful chapter, but these few verses here are really exceptional. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. And I was just being struck by our brother's opening in Ezekiel this morning in the first meeting about the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And our sheep actually has to have all of its needs provided for it. It's not a predator. If anything, it's a prey animal being preyed upon by other animals. And a sheep actually has to have things provided for it. And I'd like to talk about John chapter 10 after this, but I want you to know, if you're saved, there's really no reason for you to be unhappy, unless you're away from the Lord. There are many Christians that I know, for some reason or other, perhaps it's depression, or they're away from the Lord. And naturally, being away from the Lord, you actually get discouraged, and you fall into deeper and deeper despondency or just distress. And I just like to cheer you up a little bit in thinking about what you have as a Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps there's somebody here who's not saved. That's all right. We'll give the gospel out, of course. We're a gospel chapel, and we're gospel-oriented, those of us who are involved in the gospel. I'd like you to look at verse 14 of Romans chapter 8, and I'd like to get this said before we go to John chapter 10. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, the Bible is famous for saying so much in just a few words. Just a few words. That's what makes it, to the unsaved who are educated, they say it's a wonderful piece of literature. That's all they think of it. It is a wonderful piece of literature. But it says so much in so very few words. You are the sons of God. And then he explains it. Look at the next verse in verse 15. For you, he's talking to Christians now. He says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Did you ever call God Abba, Father? That's daddy. That's what Abba means. There's a singing group from Sweden, and they're called Abba, but that's not what I'm talking about. This is the Abba Father. Abba, Father, Dad. Dad. Did you ever call God Dad, your dad? That's what he is. God says, "Call me Dad." Right here, he's telling you, whereby we cry, we Christians, Abba, Father. Now, you're a sheep, that's right. That's another aspect of our dependency or our relationship to God. But God is your dad. And it's not being irreverent to call him dad. It's not. God looks at the heart. I had a good dad. He was a harsh man. But I have two dads. In fact, my dad is my brother in Christ. He's in heaven now, not here anymore, but he's in heaven and he's happy. 6 days before he dropped dead, unexpectedly, he told me that he was saved and he's going to go to heaven. He's sure of it. He believes the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves Christ and he knows that Christ died for his sins. Okay, 6 days later, he fell with a stomach aneurysm and he dropped dead. He was dead when he hit the floor. What happens, it's a good way to go if you're going to go, because what happens, you lose blood pressure and you black out. And there's no pain that I know of. Nobody else thinks so either. and he dropped dead. But he was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to see him someday. God is merciful, and God is kind. What a thing to think about in your relationship to him, how God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Somebody once asked me a question in my college days, and I stumbled over it for such a long time. And here's the question. Which is better, to love or to be loved? Do you know the answer to that? If you don't, I'll tell you. It's better to be loved. Because until you are loved, you don't know how to love. You see these children that we have here? It's wonderful. Those kids, every one of them is loved. And you know what's going to happen? By being loved, they are going to learn how to love. That's how you learn it. Now, I know people that are psychotic. Yes, I do. And you wonder where psychotics come from? Those are people who have never learned how to love. That's exactly what happens to them. They're raised like little robots. And they're told to act on command or to do this or that, but there's no hugs. No hugs. There's no love, no kisses, no hugs, nothing like that. They were just raised. Food and clothing and shelter, and that's it. They never learned how to love. And so they do not regard people as people. They can learn to function in society and get away with things, but they're psychotic. And sooner or later, they have problems. Well, it's better to be loved, especially when you're little, to learn how to love. And that's what God has done for us. And look at verse 16. The Spirit himself, not itself, himself, it's a he, himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? We just call God our Father, Abba, Dad. We're our children of God. And the next verse, I'm going to keep moving. And if children, then heirs. Who loved us first? We love God because the Bible says he loved us first. He first loved us. That's why we love God, because he showed us the love of himself for us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world. Who did the world love God? No, it did not. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting, what? Life. That makes you a child of God, because a parent gives life to a child and then gives love to a child. And that's what God did for us. God loved us before he gave us life. He loved us so that he could give us life. By his love, he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So generally speaking, parents do not love their children before they are born because they don't really know them. They may pray for them in the womb and so on, but before that child is conceived even, did the parents really know that child? No, but God knows everything, and he knew us before the foundation of the world, before he ever created us and laid all of our sins upon his Son, the sins of the whole world. I don't believe in limited atonement. In fact, the Bible doesn't believe in limited atonement. If you're alive, Christ died for your sins. If you were ever, even before you're alive, Christ died for your sins. That's when it happened. All of our sins, all the sins of the whole world, all of them, even the people that are in hell, they're not in hell because Christ didn't die for them. That's not true. It's a point of honor with God. Remember that. It's a point of honor. Somebody would be able to say at the great white throne judgment to the Lord Jesus who's sitting on the great white throne, you say, you didn't die for me. That's why I'm in hell. That's why I'm going to go into the lake of fire. You didn't die for me. They'd be able to say that, wouldn't they? No, sir. No, sir. They won't have a thing to say. The Bible says so. all of your sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. All of my sins were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one will be able to say anything to God and blame God for the fact that anyone is in hell. The Lord Jesus wept outside of Jerusalem. He said, I would, but you wouldn't. Remember that. So there's no such thing as a limited atonement. So those of us that are saved, let's get out there with the gospel. Do you know that only 5% of people that believe in a limited atonement are missionaries? Out of all the missionaries, only 5% of them believe in a limited atonement. There's consequences for what you believe. Believe that God loves you. The Bible says he does, and the Bible says that Christ died for our sins. Take God at his word. Take him at his word. He'll honor you for doing so. If you honor him, them that honor me, them will I honor. He says that. So we have to honor God, honor his word, and carry it out and do what it says. And God says, he promises to honor that. And you do that, and he'll honor it. Now look at the last one, the last verse of our section, in verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? Joint heirs with Christ. You know what? Words have meaning. And that's what that means. Joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. It means exactly what it says. Do you know that in heaven there is laid up for you a crown? And it's a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that he has, you have. And I'm not talking about the specific crowns. There's five of them that you'll get at the Bema Seat of Christ. That's when the rewards are given. They don't have them yet. At the Bema Seat of Christ, your service will be rewarded. There are approximately, I think there's seven judgments, some for the saved and some for the unsaved. There's seven of them. You could look it up. But the thing is, at the Bema Seat, that's where you get your crowns. Now, what are you going to do with those crowns? The Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So what you're getting in heaven, you're getting God giving you things and you giving God things. You're going to take your crowns and place them at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have something to give to him. And the Lord Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So heaven is blessing after blessing after blessing. You're giving to God and God's giving to you. And it's a wonderful thing to be in heaven. We don't know much about heaven. God speaks more about hell than he does about heaven in the Bible. It's true. He does speak things about heaven, but there's more about hell in the Bible. You could look that up too. And now here's what it says, and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Is God the only one in heaven that's going to be glorified? No. We're glorified together. That's what it says here. That's, words have meaning, and that's what it says. Now, we'll be glorified together. But it won't be our own glory. It'll be glory that God gives to us. That's a wonderful thing. In the endless ages to come, we are going to experience more glory, more glory, more glory. That's what it says in Ephesians. The first three chapters in Ephesians, we're in the heavenlies, really. In the last three chapters, the six chapters, in the last three chapters, he brings us down to the earth in the more practical teaching of how to behave ourselves here. Now let's turn to John chapter 10. Now what we do in the Sunday school, and by the way, any adult that wants to sit in on a class, you're more than welcome. We gather up in the kitchen. In fact, I believe that's where they are right now. Danny was gracious enough to take the class. So what we do is try to get people to understand, even if they're little kids, young kids, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, they even if they're not saved, what I like them to do is to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, I just told you something that's more for an older person in the meeting. But when I teach the children, I like to keep it simple. And what I like to do, as I said before, I like to tell them the Lord Jesus Christ and not the other doctrines that are in the Bible. What I really want to do, especially with children, children respond to love and affection. They do. In fact, we all do. But as we get older, it becomes more blasé, if you could use that word. We become more jaded, and we really know what the world is like, and so we really kind of hard-pressed to kind of put ourselves out there and be vulnerable, and we kind of develop a shell. With little children, younger children, they don't do that. They're more receptive, and that's why they need to be protected against the world. So what we do, but in the Sunday school, I like to try to do with them, the natural tendency is there for them to be accepting and to love and to be open. And it's a wonderful time to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said when the grown-ups were trying to get the little kids out of the way? He was angry, and he responded so. And he said, "Let the little children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The Lord Jesus had a special place in his heart, I believe, for children because they're so vulnerable. And really, relatively, I know they're natural-born sinners, I know that, but they're so unspoiled by the world, and they're not jaded, and they don't put up barriers and all of this. We had children with trick-or-treat, right? And I'm watching, there was thousands of them. In Westminster, they had kids that were, they cut the street off. The one in which my daughter lives with her family, my grandchildren and her husband, they blocked the street off in Westminster, and they have people from other towns come in, and I'm sitting on their front porch watching the kids come by for trick or treat, and the place was crowded. There was no cars. They blocked it off, Westminster. And they do it every year, every Halloween night. And what the kids did, the little ones, they were so little, and they come up and they just hold their bags open and people are throwing candy in there. Who could resist the kids? You just put the candy in there. And the kids never looked at the candy bar and say, "Is this thing all right?" Not one of them did that, right? They never examined the candy bar. The parents probably did when they went home, but they looked at the candy bar and they were so accepting of all of these gifts that they were being given. And you've just really enjoyed their innocence in that. Well, here's the thing. That's why we teach up in the Sunday school. We present the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if they're not saved, they will learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will receive him. They will already be, even if they don't get saved, they'll see, this is somebody I can trust. This is somebody that loves me, and I can love them back. Now, the older ones and the same, now even the littlest ones can understand that. Even the littlest ones. And some of the older ones in the class, they will recognize that the Lord Jesus will accept them. If they come to him in the right way, if they just come to him in their sins, if they realize that they're sinners by the Holy Spirit, I can't tell them that they know themselves. After about the age of 7 or 8, they realize, and some even a lot younger, they realize that they're sinners, but that God loves them. Now, I didn't know that before I got saved, I'll tell you. I thought God hated me, and I hated myself because I was told that I was going to hell. Ever since I can remember, I was told that. But I didn't know that God loved me. In fact, I found out that God actually loved me by somebody giving me a Bible and telling me where to look. And I found out God loved me. So then I said, "Oh." And he said, "You can be saved too. How'd you like to become a child of God? Everything you thought about God was wrong. Yes, he does hate sin, but he doesn't hate sinners. He loves sinners. He hates their sin, but he will save anybody that comes to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, anybody? And they said, yes, anybody. I said, even me? Yes, even you. I said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Under conviction for 11 years, knowing I was going to hell, I found out I was wrong. God saves sinners. He'll save you if you're not saved. But if you are saved, he loves you. And he loves even the ones that aren't saved. And he wants you to be one of his children. You need to be saved in order to do that. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I talk about the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. This is the world's greatest discovery, and I can't sit on that. I have to tell it, and that's what I do. And a lot of people think I'm a nuisance. I know that. That's okay. I don't care what people think. I am a nuisance in a lot of other ways, too. But the thing is, I need to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ because they need it. And the Lord Jesus wants me to tell about him. And he wants you to tell about him. That's why it's Bethany Gospel Chapel. Well, look what it says in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we were going to talk about in our class today. It says, do you ever have a red letter Bible? Very handy to have. I talked to the kids about it already. If they have one, it's a great thing. And I tell them why the letters are in red. I tell them the stories all the time. I'll tell them this one. Some of them are here today in the class, but in the auditorium. There was a guy I know who got saved right here in this chapel many, many years ago in the 1970s. And I asked him how he was doing after he got saved, after about a month. He said, not so good. I says, oh? I says, what are you reading? He says, well, I'm going to read through the Bible. I'm going to read through. I'm starting in Genesis. I'm going to go right through. I said, that's great. I says, are you still in Genesis? He says, yes. Are you reading anything else? No. And I said, you're not doing too good, are you? He says, no. No, I'm discouraged. I said, I put on my doctor's cap, and I was just a young person. I said, I know what you have. He said, what? Red letter deficiency. You have a red letter deficiency. What's that? I said, see my Bible? Watch. Yeah, I'll turn to Matthew 25, John 17. Look at the red letters. How lovely. Red letters. He says, red letters, red letters. Why are they red? I says, it's because it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to hear. You need the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lovesick, and that lovesickness is brought on by absence of your loved ones' words. That's the reason. Genesis is wonderful. You can see Christ in Genesis, yes, especially Genesis chapter 3. You can see the Lord Jesus Christ there. But he couldn't. You need something more direct. I knew a muscle man one time. You know what he used to do? He used to take vitamin B12, but he used to inject it right into his veins. There's better ways to do that. But the thing is, what you need with the Lord Jesus Christ, you need the Lord Jesus Christ direct, injected into your life. Injected into your life. That's what you need. And if you don't have that, you're going to starve, especially if you're a younger one who can't see pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I like is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's how you really, you sound like the Song of Solomon, where the woman there was pining away for her loved one, which was Solomon, but it's actually a picture of Christ and the church. It's on a lot of different levels. And you miss your lover. You miss the one who loves you the most because you can't hear his voice. And you'd love to hear from him. And John chapter 10, John 17, so many of the others, as I mentioned, it's a red letter. So what, you know what he did? He took that advice. I said, go home and here's some chapters to read. Read that. And read it all you want. Until it's coming out of your ears, read it. Read it until you start to memorize it. Read it. And he did. And do you know it worked? He came back the next time I saw him, he's all smiles. That's what happened. That's what it was. I was right for once in my life. That's what it was. That's what it was. Because I can't not read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read it. Instead of just talking about it, we'll read it. And Christ our Lord said in verse 1, chapter 10 of John, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. In other words, he's the door that we get to heaven with. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, that's the doorkeeper, the porter, that's the French word for door, is port, P-O-R-T. The porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, let's go to verse 7. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And I love this verse. This is terrific. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. What a Savior. He's not stingy. He loves you. And is, you know what? Love is a giving word. The children go to school, or they make little Valentine cards, or they make Christmas cards or birthday cards, and they give them to mom and dad. And mom and dad, if they have a refrigerator that's big enough, and they put all of these things on the refrigerator with those little magnets, and they have them. If God has a refrigerator, he wants to have your love letters, your prayers, your tears are in a bottle. They're precious to him, even your tears. They're in a bottle. And if God had a refrigerator, maybe he does, I don't know, I haven't been there yet. But the thing is, if he does, it's open for your food. You can go in and get it. He's very generous. But the thing is, he has your love letters and your tears and your prayers on his refrigerator. That's how much he loves you. That's just an illustration, but you get the point. God loves you. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ said in another place, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. But the Bible also says, for while we were yet enemies against God, Christ died for our sins. When Christ died for our sins, we were all not born yet, but we grew up, and we were the enemies of God because we sinned. And we were not born again. We were aliens from God. We were not his children. But God loved us before we loved him. So again, I say it's better to be loved than it is to love. Because you can't love until you experience love, until you learn love. Now, are you that crusty that you don't respond to love? Some people put up all kinds of barriers. They're all elbows. And they just don't want to be vulnerable. But that's not the way God is. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. Even the ones that he knew were going to go to hell, he actually died for their sins. And he knew that these people were going to die in their sins and go to hell. He still had to die for their sins. It's a point of honor sin had to be punished. Do you think the people in hell are paying for their sins? Do you think the debt is ever going to be paid? Never. No. You could be in hell forever and ever and ever and never pay for one sin. Not one sin would ever be paid for. You know why? There's a lot of reasons. Hell was never meant for people. It was meant for the devil and his angels. The Bible never says hell is meant for people. Never says that, not once. It says hell is for the devil and his angels. The idea was that there's room at the cross for you. And there's room in heaven for you. Everyone, whoever lived, has a place in heaven. There's room. There's plenty of room. Heaven's a big place. Hell isn't filled yet. Not even half full, according to the Bible. It's not even half filled yet. But the thing is, it was never meant for you. Never. It was meant for the devil and his angels. God says that. Heaven was meant for you. That's why the Lord Jesus bore the sins of the whole world on him. The sins of the whole world for all time. Every sin that was ever committed was paid for at the cross. God could not let one sin go unpunished. That is God. God is absolutely righteous. He must punish sin, and he must punish every sin. Remember that. That's bad theology to think otherwise. He must punish every sin. He's a holy God. If he doesn't punish every sin, he's not completely holy. Holiness hates with a holy hatred every sin, and it's punished. And it was punished on the Lord Jesus Christ for all time and forever. And all sin has been punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether people receive that or not is up to them. Now people say, well, doesn't God say who's going to be saved and who's not? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. You have a free will. Yes, you do. And all right, we're talking about love. We talked about robots a little bit, psychotics. Would you ask yourself this question. We're talking about love here. Would you rather have somebody forced to love you, programmed to love you, or to love you of their own free will? I think we know the answer to that. I think you know the answer to that. I've asked a lot of people that question, and they say, well, I'd much rather have somebody want to love me than to be forced to love me. That being forced to love is no love at all. My computer doesn't love me. Robots don't love. What? That's not love. Love is an act of the free will. So that's why some people go to hell. They will not love in return. They will not love the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And that's why they went to hell. Not because of their sin. They died in their sins. That's what happened. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. So you must choose to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he asked you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose. It's a free will choice. You choose. God doesn't choose you. He chose you to be under the sound of the gospel and to receive him as Lord and Savior. You must be saved to be one of his sheep. And once you become one of God's people, then you're one of God's people. You're one of his children. And you know what? He takes over. Just like a good mom and dad. They take over. They watch over their children. They protect those children. Even though some things have to happen, children need to be disciplined. And those things happen. But God is the best parent you'll ever have. And that is what he wants to be. He wants to be your parent. And it's a wonderful thing to come into that relationship with him. Now, any relationship, as I said before, requires communication. Like I said, men have dens, women don't. Why? Why is that? Is it different? Men and women are different. Men don't like to communicate. They like to be remote somehow. I know, because I am one. But women like that relationship. That's why it's good for men and women to get married. So the one counteracts the other one, and together they serve God better if God has called you to be married. But what God wants to do is to communicate to you and to me. That's what he's doing with his word. How do we talk to God? Through prayer. How does God talk to us? I don't hear voices. How does God talk to us? He talks to us through the Bible. That's how you hear God's word. And you do what God says. That's why the red letters are so important. Some people say, I don't like red letter Bibles. It's all the word of God. I said, yes, I know that. All right, let me give you an example. Boyd Nicholson, some people are old enough to remember him, good man. He was in the hospital one time, and he was in there for some time, and eventually he died, but he was in there for some time, and these two Christians came in, a man and a wife, and the man said to Boyd Nicholson, who was very sick, he said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. That was not what Boyd Nicholson wanted to hear. He wanted to live. He didn't want to die. Well, it's all God's word. It's all God's word. And they left, and then some teenagers came in, and he said that they cranked his bed up. They were kids. They were teenagers. And they cranked the bed up like this, and he's going, whoa! And doing this, and they're doing his charts. They're looking at his charts, and they ate all his cookies, and it was just, you know, it was the funniest thing. But he felt better after they were there for a while. He started to feel alive again. I mean, he said that. I heard him say it. So it was a thing, but it's all God's word. But the red letters, what you need is a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the red letters of your Bible. Enjoy them. Enjoy them. That's what God wants you to do. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. Pray and read the Bible. Read the red letters. You know what you ought to do for a while if you feel blah? Just go through the Gospel of John and read all the red letters. Especially, you can read the other black letters for context and everything. But if you're a little bit tired, dragged out a little bit, read the red letters and think about them afterwards. What did the Lord say? And then what you do to talk to him right after you read the red letters, you talk to him. That's what I do. I talk to God afterwards. It's communication. See that? He's talking to you. And you know what sometimes happens? I'm going to close in just a second here. What happens is, there's nothing like the Bible. You know what happens? He'll show you things that in passages that you didn't see before. And you've read it maybe 100 times, the older ones. I've seen that. I've read that. I never saw that before. And what happens is sometimes it brings you to another verse. Maybe they're red letters too. It brings you somewhere else in the gospel. And one verse leads to another. It's like potato chips. You can't eat just one. You know, you're eating the potato chip and you want another one. But the thing is, with God's word, it's even better. Because that's God the Holy Spirit actually teaching you. Look at this. Here's this verse shining light on this one. You didn't see that before, did you? And you didn't see that one before, did you? It's an adventure. Now, let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so glad for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We really want a closer walk with thee. We really do. And Father, we know we can have it because thou dost want us to have a closer walk with thee. Thou dost love us more than we love thee. And Father, we know this is always going to be this way because thou art so great in thy capacity for love, much more than we'll ever be. But Father, we thank thee for it. We thank thee for the love which thou hast given to us in the person of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask thee for thy help now, for we ask it in the Savior's name. We pray, Father, for the children up in the classrooms wherever they may be, the little ones and the older ones, we ask thy blessing upon them as well. For we ask it in the Savior's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.